In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, today we celebrate this amazing feast day. Fabian will attest to this, that yesterday when I looked at the Mass after our Mass yesterday evening, I was so excited, wasn't I? I could hardly contain myself with the joy that I was experiencing, the fact that today we get to celebrate this mystery, this great feast day. What is the feast day of? Huh? In the old calendar, that's actually his feast day is tomorrow. After Vatican II, when they reformed the calendar, they actually moved Saint Alphonsus's feast day a day earlier than it normally is. So his is really tomorrow in the old calendar, which this Mass follows. Today is a different day. Today we celebrate who, Fabian? The holy Maccabean martyrs. The holy Maccabean martyrs. These great martyrs of the church that we get to celebrate today. That's why the sky is lit with red today. Because we get to celebrate the martyrs. That's why I invested in red, because of the martyrs today. What a great joy we have of these Maccabean martyrs. Today also is the feast of St. Peter in chains. St. Peter in chains, where he was held in chains. St. Peter, we celebrate that today. There's also the three martyrs that we celebrate today, who are the saints' faith, hope, and charity that we celebrate today, and a few other ones that are going to be listed in the Book of the Saints. Today we're focusing upon the great Maccabean martyrs. These are great saints, powerful saints, because these are saints which we recognize that came before Christ. Isn't that a great thing? You know about the holy Maccabean martyrs. See their whole story. I want to read their whole story for you, but it'd take a really long time to go through the whole of the feats of the martyrs. Remember what is going on in that time. This is in the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, when the Jewish people in the years right before Christ, the 100 years before Christ, they were put under the possession of the Greeks under Alexander the Great. Remember, he came by and conquered the whole of the known world. And in this Greek or Hellenization of the whole world, everybody began to speak Greek, which actually is a preparation for Christ to come. You know, before that, everybody had their own individual languages. But when Alexander the Great came, he imposed his culture upon everybody. So that meant a common language, which is very helpful for the spread of the gospel. God knew what he was doing. But Antiochus Epiphanes, after Alexander the Great came in, and he didn't just want everybody to speak the language, didn't want everybody just to have the same culture, he wanted to impose the worship of his evil, demonic gods upon the whole of the world. And especially Antiochus Epiphanes realized that his coffers, his empire, was lacking in wealth, because he had expended himself too far. And so he sought to find places that had wealth and to steal it from them. He heard about the Jews, how they had such treasures laid up in their temple, and he covetously desired to reach into the treasuries of the Jews, their sacred vessels, and to pillage it so that he could use it for himself and for the enriching of his empire. So he forced the worship of his gods, forced the Hellenization, said you have to eat pig flesh, which Jews can't do. It's against the law of God. Forced them to be able to do so. Also, they had to offer sacrifice to these strange gods that were not their God, to make sure that they would turn their back on their heritage and become good Greeks. The Maccabean martyrs would have nothing of it. We get the word macabre. You've heard that word macabre? Usually it comes up, as we were talking last night with Mr. Velasquez. He associates that with Halloween. Well, macabre, that's what it is. It's gruesome. Gruesome tortures. You heard that letter from the book of Hebrews. This is Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter in Scripture, talking about the exploits. What it speaks about there, the various tearings of the flesh, the running, the attacks, that Scripture passage speaks of these things. The author of Hebrews was thinking of the Maccabean martyrs when he penned that specifically. Read the book of Maccabees, both of them. They tell the exact same story from two different perspectives. The first one focuses upon Judas Maccabeus and the great battles that he did and waged against those who were trying to destroy them. The second book of Maccabees looks at an intense look at the same time period, the same thing that was going on, not a different time period, but focuses upon the brothers, the Maccabean brothers, the seven brothers, especially, who gave their lives brutally, refusing to offer sacrifice. This is how wicked that they were. I won't describe the tortures. Read them about you yourselves. What happened is that they put the mother of these seven brothers, she had no daughters, told them that they have to repent. And if they would repent, they would be enriched. Not only that they wouldn't die a brutal death and be tortured, they would be enriched if they would just offer sacrifice. And there was their mother, and their mother was going to have to watch them go through all these tortures. That's a worse torture, to see that your mother's going to have to see you go through this. They knew that, so that's why they had her there, to watch it, to witness it. Not just to destroy her, but to force them to recant. Because if they would get some to recant, they could point and say, look, these strong brothers who were there, those who were strong in the faith, they went the other direction. And so all of you should go the same direction too. Tell you what, spoiler alert, they don't. None of them do. One by one by one, they profess the faith. They did it even in a more evil way. They started from the eldest and worked their way down to the youngest. So they'd see their older brother die. Man, I don't want to do it. I'm weaker than him. I'm weaker than him. I'm weaker than him. I'm weaker than him. They'd see what it would do to the mother to see her firstborn, her secondborn, her thirdborn, her fourthborn, her fifthborn, her sixthborn, each one of them confessing the faith and giving a good speech of how they would not turn their back on the ways of their fathers, but would hold out to the end. And then they went to the lastborn, the little child. This was a little child who was there, who was having to stand up for the faith. And they said, look, you've seen your six brothers be brutally tortured, that their flesh was torn. They put them with the racks and the hooks to tear their flesh in front of them, to flay them alive, really. All sorts of brutal things. Read about it in the book of Maccabees. It says it. It's very macabre. It's very macabre, meaning it tells about the gruesomeness of what goes on. And they went to this little boy. He said, you're just a little boy, a young lad. If you recant, you will be enriched. Spare your mother. She's seen the loss of her six brothers, of your six brothers there, of her six sons. Give her at least joy in her final moments, to not to lose all of her sons in a single day. Have pity upon your mother, recant, and you yourself will be enriched. And he said, no, why waste your breath upon me, he said. See that boldness of the martyrs? He said, why waste your breath upon me? You've spoken too much earlier. You've seen my brothers give testament to the faith, and I too, though a young boy, will continue on in the same way, for my God will save me. You yourself will inflict these grave tortures upon me and upon my brothers and upon the whole of the faithful, but recognize this, God himself sees what you've done, and you will not be spared. Though you tear my flesh, what awaits you is far worse. The boldness of this little boy. And so he was incensed by what he had just said there and attacking him in this way, so he inflicted even greater tortures upon him than he had inflicted on any of his elder brothers. Then they turned to the mother and said, see what you've done here. See what you've seen. How pity to you. Offer sacrifice now that you may bury your sons in peace. And so she embraced the bodies destroyed by the torture of her sons, kissed them, prayed over them, and turned to them and said, no, not a chance. What they have spoken about is true. God reigns. Our God is the only God. And so they did the same to her, confessing the faith, the mother at the end. We hold these martyrs today in their macabre way of where they gave their lives, recognizing that even though before Christ, they testified to him. Isn't that beautiful? You see, as the church, we can't speak about the guys down the street making it to heaven because we don't know. Certainly, we can't talk about the ones down the other side of the street who are the Jehovah's Witnesses. We can't talk about their salvation because they're not even validly baptized. We can't know for sure. The church can't speak about things that she doesn't know for sure after Christ. But looking before Christ, we can see that these ones, having such great zeal for God, would have certainly accepted the promises of Christ. In their zeal, they would have found him. And so the church holds up these martyrs in these very early days before Christ, saying these ones did indeed make it. And their stories are there to inspire us, no matter what difficulty you and I go through, that there are great martyrs there who spilt their blood as we look up and see the sky in that rose red right there, crimson that is above. It reminds us that their blood, which flows too with, commingled with the blood of Christ, pours down even to us in the difficulties which we face. God willing, in our day, you will not see great martyrdoms in our country here. But we might. With the help of God, the same God who these Maccabean martyrs trusted in, we too can conquer. It is time now for us to offer our prayers and our penances in this day so that those martyrs, when they do come, which are presently being martyred all throughout the world, but even in our country, when martyrdom will be visited upon us, it will come one day. Gloriously it will. Pray now, offer penance now, that those martyrs may have the strength and conviction to follow through with what God has given, same to as the Maccabean martyrs. Today is a great, amazing feast day to encourage us in all of our struggles, in all of our trials, in all of the difficulties that we face. Because what does the Lord say in the gospel passage we have today from Luke? He says, nothing that is spoken in dark, done in secret, all will be hidden, but rather it will be proclaimed on the mountaintops. Those things which you whisper into the ear of your friend in intimacy, they will be proclaimed. They will be proclaimed from the rooftops, because all that is hidden will be revealed. All that is hidden. Even these exploits of the martyrs that we see today, which are written down in sacred scripture. There are even dialogues, and what they've spoken is now known even to us. But even those who die today, whose stories will never be spoken, never be written down, but they have been whispered in ears. On that day of judgment, that glorious day of judgment, where the Lord divides the sheep onto his right and the goats onto his left, the whole of the universe, all creatures, all human beings, all angels and demons, all sensible creatures who God has created from the beginning of the earth will be present. And every single testament to the Lord. Each will be made known. The good works that you do that nobody else will ever hear, the sufferings which you endure, the prayers which you yourself offer in secret, it's all going to be played as though it were on a great large screen where we'll see the whole of human history play out, the glory of God the Father. Take courage. The Lord knows it, and in the final day, all of creation will praise God because of it. Fear not. You're worth more than many sparrows, as he says. Fear not. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. So even if they be singed and burned by fires of this world, and even fires of the assaults of the evil one, God knows what's going on. Don't be afraid of anybody who can tear your flesh or speak of you badly in the marketplaces or behind closed doors use your name as a curse word. The only one you should fear is the one that the Lord Jesus says is fear, that after destroying the body, can cast the soul into hell. That's only two people, by the way. Fear only two people in the whole universe. Who is that? Satan, the malignant spirit. Fear him, because he can do that. And also your own soul, which by mortal sin, human beings can cast themselves into hell. Those are the only two creatures in all of the universe that you and I have to fear. But as Hebrews chapter 12 says, which comes right after our passage, he says, but we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Talking about the saints in heaven, the martyrs, the ones who have been victorious. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And because of that, recognize, hold fast your profession of faith. Hold fast, because they're all around cheering us from heaven, saying, you can do it. I'm praying for you. I'm in your corner. The more and more you and I recognize Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, that we should hold fast our confession of faith, the more and more we realize that everything is being played out already on the large screen. You and I are not alone. That at every moment, the whole of the hosts of heaven is interceding on our behalf. Lay hold of that courage. The martyrs that we speak about in such a macabre fashion, the Maccabean martyrs, they are victorious, and they wish us to share in their victory too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.